Blessed be God, who enables us through the Holy Spirit to praise his holy name. Let us therefore bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by proclaiming, Blessed be God forever. With this podcast, we gather to listen to God's holy word. In order to prepare our hearts for this task, we begin by acknowledging our sins and saying the following act of contrition. O my God, I repent with my whole heart of all of my sins. I detest them, for it is by them that I deserve the loss of heaven and all the sufferings of hell. But it is also by them that most of all I have offended you, infinite goodness. And it is because of this I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, a grace that I ask you to grant me now and always, that I will do what penance I can, and desire to rather die than offend you again. Amen. O Lord, be in our hearts, and on our lips, and shown in our lives, so that we may proclaim and know the word of the Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the first book of Samuel. There was a stalwart man from Benjamin named Kish, who was the son of Abiel, son of Zeor, son of Bechorath, son of Aphiath, a Benjamite. He had a son named Saul, who was a handsome young man. There was no other child of Israel more handsome than Saul. He stood head and shoulders above the people. Now the asses of Saul's father Kish had wandered off. Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the servants with you and go out and hunt for the asses." Accordingly, they went through the hill country of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, not finding them there. They continued through the land of Salim without success. They also went through the land of Benjamin, but they failed to find the animals. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord assured him, "This is the man of whom I told you. He is to govern my people." Saul met Samuel in the gateway and said, "Please tell me where the seer lives." Samuel answered Saul, "I am the seer. Go up ahead of me to the high place and eat with me today, and in the morning, before dismissing you, I will tell you whatever you wish." Then, from a flask he had with him, Samuel poured oil on Saul's head. He also kissed him, saying, "The Lord anoints you commander over his heritage. You are to govern the Lord's people Israel, and to save them from the grasp of their enemies round about. This will be the sign for you, that the Lord has anointed you commander over his heritage." The word of the Lord. Lord, in your strength the king is glad. Lord, in your strength the king is glad. O Lord, in your strength the king is glad. In your victory how greatly he rejoices. You have granted him his heart's desire. You refuse not the wish of his lips. Lord, in your strength the king is glad. For you welcomed him with goodly blessings. You placed on his head a crown of pure gold. He asked life of you. You gave him length of days forever and ever. Lord, in your strength the king is glad. Great is his glory in your victory. Majesty and splendor you conferred upon him. For you made him a blessing forever. You gladdened him with the joy of your face. Lord, in your strength the king is glad. Why are you a Catholic, or a Christian, or profess any other kind of religion at all? In fact, I could even bring it out a little bit more and say, why are you listening to this podcast? The answer to these questions are probably because somebody, somewhere, invited you to come to be a Catholic, to be a Christian, to practice whatever religion it is you practice, if it's not one of those. Or even listening to this podcast, you had to have some mechanism that suggested that you listen to this podcast, whether it be some search result or suggestion from iTunes or whatever search engine or podcast platform you listen to. But you were suggested the option to listen. And this is something that comes out in the two readings that we have today. The one from the first book of Samuel and the other from the gospel. Because in both cases, someone invited another person to something different than the way their life was before. Much like at evangelistic crusades when evangelists like Billy Graham call people forth to give their lives to Christ. They usually do it by bringing in some kind of reason for that particular call, some kind of motivation. But the motivation for a lot of people is not like the motivation found by these two men. You see, in the first reading, Saul was looking for some goats. I mean, some donkeys. They called them asses in the scripture. He was looking for them because they were lost. And after searching for them for a long time and finding nothing, he decided to go to the man of God to maybe find from the man of God some kind of idea of where to look for these missing animals. And as a result, when the man of God saw Saul, he was told by the Lord that this was the man who was to govern his people. It's almost ominous the way that it's described, because it's put forth like God didn't choose him. Which, in a sense, he didn't. But he points to Saul and says, this is the man who will govern. And his qualifications are just merely external qualifications. Because it talks about him being a handsome young man, being head and shoulders above everybody else, and talking all about his external characteristics. And when he comes to Samuel to find out where these asses are, to be able to find them, it shows that he has an outward look, not an inward and not an upward look. He's not coming to the seer to find out a word from the Lord for himself, but rather he's coming to him with an attitude of expecting the seer to just give him an answer for something temporal. The man of God, Samuel, in the first reading, does take him in, but he invites him to stay with him for the night. In fact, he says, go up ahead of me to that high place and eat with me today. In the morning before dismissing you, I will tell you whatever it is you want. Because he was doing at that moment what God had asked him to do. And he anointed Saul and kissed him and whispered to him that he was to rule the people of Israel, which was greater than what Saul had come to the seer Samuel to find. But it wasn't an inward call. It was an outward call. Compare that to the call in the Gospel of Mark, where we find Jesus passing by Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post, basically doing his job as a tax collector. And Jesus saying to him, follow me. This man got up and followed Jesus. And he invited Jesus into his home. And many of his friends, who were tax collectors and other sinners, sat with him and began to follow him as well. The leading continues. And this is the difference between Levi, or Matthew, and King Saul. Levi invited the man of God into his home, Saul, just went to the home of the man of God because he was seeking something for himself, whereas Matthew was seeking Jesus. Many people get upset with the Christian church being full of reprobates, sinners, hypocrites, people who don't live up to the godly standard that they believe the world should live by. Because they're looking at the outward handsome man of King Saul. And Jesus pointed out to these individuals that the people that truly did come to his banquet or sat and ate with him in banquet in Matthew's home are ones that knew that they needed to be healed, unlike Saul, who was only looking for some lost animals. Why are you a Catholic or a Christian or profess any other kind of religion at all? In fact, I could even bring it out a little bit more and say, why are you listening to this podcast? The answer to these questions are probably because somebody, somewhere, invited you to come to be a Catholic, to be a Christian, to practice whatever religion it is you practice if it's not one of those, or even listening to this podcast, you had to have some mechanism that suggested that you listen to this podcast, whether it be some search result or suggestion from iTunes or whatever search engine or podcast platform you listen to, but you were suggested the option to listen. And this is something that comes out in the two readings that we have today, the one from the first book of Samuel and the other from the gospel. Because in both cases, someone invited another person to something different than the way their life was before. Much like at evangelistic crusades when evangelists like Billy Graham call people forth to give their lives to Christ, they usually do it by bringing in some kind of reason for that particular call, some kind of motivation. But the motivation for a lot of people is not like the motivation found by these two men. You see, in the first reading, Saul was looking for some goats. I mean, some donkeys. They called them asses in the scripture. He was looking for them because they were lost. And after searching for them for a long time and finding nothing, he decided to go to the man of God to maybe find from the man of God some kind of idea of where to look for these missing animals. And as a result, when the man of God saw Saul, he was told by the Lord that this was the man who was to govern his people. It's almost ominous the way that it's described, because it's put forth like God didn't choose him, which, in a sense, he didn't. But he points to Saul and says, this is the man who will govern. And his qualifications are just merely external qualifications, because it talks about him being a handsome young man, being head and shoulders above everybody else, and talking all about his external characteristics. And when he comes to Samuel to find out where these asses are, to be able to find them, it shows that he has an outward look, not an inward and not an upward look. He's not coming to the seer to find out a word from the Lord for himself, but rather he's coming to him with an attitude of expecting the seer to just give him an answer for something temporal. The man of God, Samuel, in the first reading, does take him in, but he invites him to stay with him for the night. In fact, he says, go up ahead of me to that high place and eat with me today, In the morning before dismissing you, I will tell you whatever it is you want. Because he was doing at that moment what God had asked him to do. And he anointed Saul and kissed him and whispered to him that he was to rule the people of Israel, which was greater than what Saul had come to the seer Samuel to find. But it wasn't an inward call. It was an outward call. Compare that to the call in the Gospel of Mark, where we find Jesus passing by Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post, basically doing his job as a tax collector. And Jesus saying to him, "Follow me." This man got up and followed Jesus. And he invited Jesus into his home. And many of his friends, who were tax collectors and other sinners, sat with him and began to follow him as well. The leading continues. And this is the difference between Levi, or Matthew, and King Saul. Levi invited the man of God into his home. Saul just went to the home of the man of God because he was seeking something for himself, whereas Matthew was seeking Jesus. Many people get upset with the Christian church being full of reprobates, sinners, hypocrites, people who don't live up to the godly standard that they believe the world should live by. Because they're looking at the outward, handsome man of King Saul. And Jesus pointed out to these individuals that the people that truly did come to his banquet, or sat and ate with him in banquet in Matthew's home, are ones that knew that they needed to be healed, unlike Saul, who was only looking for some lost animals. For our priest, anointed by God in the sacrament of ordination to guide and govern his holy people, that this anointing may come to full awakening in their lives and ministry, let us pray to the Lord. For world leaders who have been given authority to govern the nations, that their fidelity to God's inner guidance may make their efforts fruitful in justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the conversion of the self-righteous, for the humility to see that we all need Jesus to take the initiative and call us forth to be his true followers, let us pray to the Lord. For the tax collectors and sinners of our own day, those who are avoided because of addiction, violence, or dangerous disease, that in Jesus' name there may be doctors of body and soul who reach out to heal them, let us pray to the Lord. For those who have gone before us, that God may grant their heart's desire and welcome them to heaven with good blessings, giving them length of days forever, let us pray to the Lord. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us offer the prayer Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us go in peace and glorify the Lord with how we live among others. Thanks be to God.